to turn the other cheek. How can I turn the other cheek? Is when I got the Holy Ghost. He helps me to do what I couldn't do on my own. When I turn the other cheek, it's not because I'm weak. It's because I just don't. I just don't want to fight right now. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside. When I give my enemy water when he's thirsty, and bread when he's hungry, that's because the Holy Ghost on the inside.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Get your Bibles and turn them, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, and I want to look at a portion of verse 17. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Now we're going to begin reading in just a moment, but when I tell you to stop, stop. All right, say amen when you get there. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Let's begin reading. Stop. God bless you. You may be seated. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. The first four words of that text says, learn to do well. And from those words, I want to speak this morning from a lesson for life. A lesson for life. I want you to help me and turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is sharing today a lesson for life. Give God a hand of praise for God's word. Isaiah is representing God speaking the words that God has uttered to him to share with the people of God, the chosen people of God, the Israelites. And there are some things that the people of God have done that has displeased God, walked out of his word, walked out of his will, and walked out of his way. And the only way that God can bless them the way that he truly desires to bless them is if they correct some things and come back into a right relationship and fellowship with him. And there are some things that Isaiah says that are cutting, direct, straightforward, and real. And I've got news for you. If you're really going to be helped, there really is no other way to tell it but to tell it. Too many of our people do not do what they can do, do not do what they should do, because people don't always share honestly and truthfully with them. You know, we skirt past telling folk what's real. We sugarcoat and we water down, and we try not to hurt folk feelings when we don't recognize that our wicked and wayward living is hurting God's feeling, especially those of us who call ourselves children of the Most High God. And this lesson of life is not just for the young life, and it's not just for the old life, it's for all life, every life, especially in God. And so that means no matter what your age is or what stage you may be in, if you have not learned this lesson, it's high time you do. Learn to do well. First of all, the word learn suggests that there is a process that causes us to practice in order to progress. In other words, when you learn something, you don't just learn it instantaneously, arbitrarily, or absolutely at one turn of the interval. Sometimes you've got to practice it over and over and over and over again. You've heard the saying, if at first you don't succeed, try and try, and for some of us, try and try and try and try and try again. And then when you think you got it, go over it again and make sure that whatever you are practicing, because we have a saying, practice makes perfect, but practice only makes perfect what you practice. If you want to practice perfectly what you practice so that you can be practicing perfectly, then that means you have to get everything in order and practice it the way that it ought to be. Because however you practice it, good or bad, right or wrong, good form or bad form, that's what you're going to be perfect in. So practice in and of itself don't make you perfect, but perfect practice makes it perfect. And so one of the things that we need to recognize in this text is the fact that there are three things this text suggests. First of all, that it is a principle of life. It's meant for everybody. It's from the Word of God to the people of God. It is an order that we should operate according to this truth that God dispensates, has dispensated to the people of God. He has given to the people of God for all times, in every area, every arena. It is a principle that God wants all of his children to learn. Say principle. It's a principle, so that means that it ought to be a prioritized reality in our lives, that we recognize it's important to God. If it's important to God, guess who else it should be important to? It should be important to us. Learn to do well. When I was a young boy, my mother had a saying that was similar to that. And it was like this: make your steps count. Make your steps count. And I started hearing that so much from her that I asked her, "Mother, what do you mean by make your steps count?" Well, she was saying, first thing is, whatever you do, do it right the first time. Do it right the first time. And you won't have to repeat it again. And, you know, I was a young lad. I had two sisters, one of which is here today. And we had chores, you know, washing the dishes, et cetera, et cetera. And I absolutely abhorred, hated, with everything in me, washing dishes. Now, I like what the dishes held, but I didn't like washing the dishes. And I would sometime, you know, incentivize my sisters to wash my dishes after mother had gone to sleep. It was a principle. She wanted me to learn how to do this so that when I grew up, in the case I had to wash my own dishes, I'd know how to wash dishes and wash them right. One day she told me, she said, "All right, wash those dishes. It's your turn. It's your night." I said, "Okay, mother." I said, "Let me finish watching my show, please." She said, "Okay." Now, my mother, you know, usually goes to bed early, so she went to bed early. And my show went off about 9:30, 10 o'clock, somewhere around that time. And the strangest thing happened. I got sleepy after my show went off. And so I had one part saying to me, "Don't forget the dishes." The other part saying to me, "But you're tired." One part saying, "Don't forget the dishes." You know what mother said. The other part said, "Yeah, but I'm tired." Then that was a compromise. I said, "Well, what I'll do is I'll just lay down for a little while. And then I'll get up and go and wash the dishes." Well, the little while turned into about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock that morning. And my mother got up in the middle of the night, and she went on to the kitchen to check out everything, make sure I had done what I said I was going to do. And I had. So between 2 and 3 o'clock that morning, boom, kicked that door open. She called me by my nickname, and she said, "Get up." I said, "It's time to get up for school already, Mama." She said, "No, it's time to get up and wash those dishes you told me you were going to wash before you went to sleep." And so when I didn't get up and wash them when I was supposed to, she got me up that time in the morning. I went to washing the dishes. Well, I thought I'd be slick about it and not half wash the dishes, trying to wash them quickly and do it. All right. She went on back to bed. About 4:30, she got back up and inspected the dishes. I was like, she must have been having a restless night that night. Come back in my room, get up. I said, "What's wrong now, Mom? I washed the dishes." "No, you have washed the dishes. Now, wash them again until you wash them right. And let me just give you a helpful holy hint. If you don't wash them right this time, I'm going to wake you up again to do them a third time." And that time, I washed them right. And she said to me, "You and..." Recalling that back to me, she said, "That's what I meant when I said, make your steps count. If you had washed them right the first time, you would not have had to wash them over again." And then she said, "There's another example of make your step count. She said, when I was folding clothes one day, she said, I told you, you know, take the dish towels into the kitchen and put the dish towels up. But I said, wait until you get, you know, a load of them. And I probably waited till she folded up about three or four washcloths. Then there were the dish towels. I had to go back in, get the dish towels, and bring them in. And then she said, why didn't you wait like I asked you to do? She said, because on the way to the kitchen was the linen closet next to the bathroom. You could have put the towels in the linen closet and then bring a few dish towels to the kitchen. Now you've made three trips when you could have made just one. I wish I had somebody. That's called making your steps count. In other words, don't just do stuff to do it. Take the time to do it right and make the most of everything you do. That was another way of saying learn to do well. Parents who teach their children how to do well usually cause their children to be productive citizens, well-adjusted citizens in life, in grade school, in business, in relationships. When folk learn how to do well, it carries over into every area of life. Children who are not taught to do well at home and with the basic skills of life and learning and survival, etc., are usually those who don't cope well in life, in school, in relationships, etc. In other words, learning to do well is a principal life lesson. And it is so important that parents take the time to instruct their children to learn how to do well. It is a principle that is important enough for you to learn that it is a process that must be adhered to, that must be practiced in order for that child to be progressive in not just one area of life, but in every area of life. And I learned that lesson of make my steps count in everything I did from that point on. If it was school, I learned to study to be able to get the best out of my studying. And if it was working, I learned that when you learn how to do a thing well, you don't need somebody watching over your shoulder to make sure you do it right. And when they do check behind you, they see that you have done it well. And when you've done it well, it sets you up for promotion because the boss is looking for somebody that he can give responsibilities to that he ain't got to stand over and make sure they do it right. On and on and on in life, a life lesson. Learn to do well. First thing is, it's a principle. Second thing is, you must be persistent. You don't learn to do well one time. You learn to do well by a process of continuing your practicing of a skill set that keeps you on your toes, keep you at your best, keep you doing your best. And you have to persist sometime, even when time, situation, physical strength, and challenges come up. It still is no excuse for being persistent in doing things well. Well, now, I want to just take a break right here and digress, if you don't mind, because before verse 17 was in the Bible, verse 16 was in the Bible. And if you back up to verse 16, it tells you that you can't learn to do well first until you wash you. Clean yourself up. Get yourself together. And then when you get yourself together, it suggests that you change from doing the wicked things you used to do, the way you used to be. So it talks about cleansing, and then it talks about changing. But then it also talks about ceasing to do all of the evil things, the unrighteous things, the ungodly things that you used to do. And when you get through ceasing doing that, then guess what you have to do? Learn to do well. Lord, I wish I had somebody listening to me this morning. Cleanse yourself. Change yourself from the things you used to do. Listen, it's easy when you start off cleansing yourself. Once you cleanse yourself, it's easy to change yourself. And when you change yourself, it's easy to cease doing some stuff that you would not do now that you are cleansed and changed. So the ceasing is a confirmation that you've changed. And the change is a confirmation that you're clean. And once you got that together, then it's time to learn to do well. But I want you to also see in verse 18, and I'm not going there, I just want to capture the verse. You got a reservation from God who says, come now, let us reason together. So he gives you a reservation to do three things. One, to reason. That means let's talk about, let's deal with your sins, past sin. Let's help you understand why you did what you did, and let's help you understand that that's not the right way, and that's not the way that's going to bless the rest of your life and then prepare you to be with me eternally. So let's reason together. If I've been unfair, tell me I've been unfair. But if you've been unfair, tell me you've been unfair. And let's come together on this point. And then after we've done that, you repent. Your sins be as scarlet. That means you've already done wrong. I'm not trying to talk about what you might do, what you could do. I'm talking about what you've already done. It's already been marked. All right. And then he moves on from there to righteousness. Because not only will it be white as snow, but they will be white as wool. He's making clear that that represents righteousness. Once you repent, after you have reasoned, you will see that you are then able to carry out in all respects of life the things that matter the most, first to God, and then to you, and then to mankind. Verse 16 talks about getting yourself together. Verse 17 talks about learning how to help others. Verse 18, make sure that you are in right standing eternally with God. Now these verses are in the Word because a whole lot of you don't understand. God don't want you to come to church just to be coming to church. And if you don't get nothing out of church, you're wasting your time. You might as well be out in the street doing what you want to do, because I got news for you. When God gives you an opportunity to hear what he is saying and you choose not to hear it, or you choose to close your ears, or you choose not to obey what he's saying, I need you to know that you are still going to be held responsible and accountable for that word. God is looking for you to hear and to heed, to obey, just like parents are looking for their children to obey when they teach them lessons, when they show them the right way. They're expecting their attitude and their actions to be likewise with their teaching. And if they don't adhere to it, then there are disciplinary measures. God is no different. And you wonder why you're having problems in your life. You're wondering why things aren't going well for you. You're wondering why you can't have a good relationship. You wondering why you're running from pillar to post and from him to her and all of these different things? Because there is no peace underneath your skin, no joy under you. And no matter who you find good, you destroy the relationship because you're no good. You got to start with washing yourself. We always want to get with somebody better than us to pull us up. No, you got to clean yourself up. That's just some things others can't do for you. Get yourself right. Help me preach this to the person next to you. Say, neighbor, get yourself right. Now, if you resent them saying that, turn back and tell them, get yourself right. Now, if you really want to be Christian, say, let's get ourselves right. I wish I had a helper. I'm about to close, but I just want to bring out this point before I do. When you learn to do well, it's twofold at its fundamental basis. First, to do well, to learn to do well, is helpful for you. For you. When you learn to do well in everything you do, you become the cream of the crop. You rise to the top in every situation. You learn how to take the high road and not the low road. You learn how to do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. You learn how to give because you learn it's more blessed to give than to receive. You're the one who offers a hand out first without having always asked for a helping hand on the end. It's a beneficial principle that benefits you first. Parents, I just cannot drive home deep enough, more profoundly enough, more prolific enough, how important this principle is for you to teach your child, because it is the principle that will guide them when you're not around. When you teach our young people how to learn to do well, the sooner you learn how to teach them, the better grasp of life they will receive and be able to walk into. So the first point of that is it benefits them, or it benefits us first. The second thing it does is it benefits others. It benefits others. If I have learned to do well, then I've learned to do well not just for myself, but for others. Some of the people in my own life, my ministry that I've seen and watched, whom the Lord has used the most are those who have learned to do well. You don't have to beg them to help. They volunteer. They're supportive of others. They're prayerful with others. They are the ones who are the doers and not just the talkers. They're the givers, and they're not looking for compensation.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. 888-346-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery